Did everybody press their one?
Well, if you can talk, you have pressed it.
I've been working for, maybe 5 months on the Spanish translation of climate literacy.
Oh, yeah.
And we're making sizable progress. We have a meeting with some of the translators on Thursday to kind of deal with some of the issues. But if anybody on the call has in-depth Spanish speaking education skills, one of the issues we're struggling with is actually the direct translation of climate literacy. The cultural use of some of the definition or some of the words you would use don't make sense.
All right, sounds good.
One person
you might ask is Chris Comer.
Sure.
I don't know if everybody knows, but Chris left Turk, so she's not working for Turk anymore. But she's still worth calling and asking. She does well with translations into Spanish.
Awesome.
Frank, there's another – this is Karen Holwig. Another suggestion that I could add to the mix is Pepe Marcos Iga, who's the president-elect of NAAEE. He works out of the University of Arizona in Tucson.
Right.
And he's – of Mexico National.
Can you send me his contact information?
I'll be glad to. Yep.
Fantastic. So, I mean, I actually hope to have this project wrapped up, laid out, and printed this year. It's very aggressive, but at least we'll have a digital version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Soon.
I know Roberta Johnson, her Windows to the Universe site has climate literacy on it. It also has a Spanish version. So
of climate literacy?
She has a Spanish version of the whole site.
But I don't imagine that she's translated the climate literacy doctrine.
I don't think she's translated it, but it would be a place that you would want to have it put.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's. I think we've had two very good scientists go through it and make sure the science is translated accurately.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting there. It shouldn't be too long.
Good.
That's one major update.
Okay. Do you have others?
Nothing's coming to my mind right now. I mean, I know that Clean is rolling along and has a ton of things coming off the production line or activity line.
Yes, we do.
And, Tamara, to that end, I mean, one of the things I just sent you guys is the tight alignment.
I just got that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's some stuff we've been doing that maybe one thing I actually would like to know if this community wants to is to start working with a subset of the TriPI projects that are actually developing products that would show up in Clean and actually working with them to find and focus on specific gaps for developing new product.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm hoping that we will be able to engage that community in doing,
yeah,
is addressing the gaps and working with them to so that they address, they develop their resources so that they do address the review criteria.
Right, but a step further is if, like, there are specific gaps in our collection so far where no one is focused on this unique learning objective, I can point out a specific one. But if somebody was close, they might be, if they focused on it more intently, they would fill a key need.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we, while they have all control of what they do, but if they knew that it would be more valuable if they kind of tweaked it a little bit more in this direction, it might be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the Climate Literacy Network would be a good place or to begin to engage that community of people who are actively funded to build content.
I think that we should advertise in both places, but I think that the listserv directly for the tri-agency group would be more direct.
That's true. That's true. Okay.
I have the email that Tamara, you sent out a while back with those gaps on my to-do list still, but I just kind of a suggestion. I like the graphics, but it isn't easily – one of the reasons I haven't had time to even look at our resources yet to fit them in is because it's hard. It's not laid out in a really intuitive way for me. Like if it doesn't, unless there's another page, all I had really looked at seen were these, the graphics, you know, that show, well, here, well, this is, there's a gap here. But if it said principal X that we'd love activities for this one, you know, like, it is, there isn't a document that I've seen that's just super clearly lays that out.
I like that.
You know,
well, all right. Well, see, you're going the opposite direction of where we came from.
Both
documents probably exist. It's just that most people found that the documents with just words was a bit dense. But on those graphics, you should have what the climate literacies are, and then it should indicate next to it whether there's a lot of resources there or very few.
It's not, but it's like GP, you know, right. which I
but
know.
On the right-hand side, it has a text.
Oh,
no, but on the right-hand side, it has text.
No, you know what? I think there's two documents. There's the website that has all the PDFs.
That's which are the really pretty graphics, which are lovely,
but
it's not entirely.
I think Tamara, you're talking about the full poster, which I have printed in my cube. And
yeah. So what I can do. So what we can. You, who's talking?
I'm sorry. This is Kristen from the Will Steger Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we have is that in addition, and I will find it because we do have it on the website, where along with the little letters and the graphic on the right hand side, right next to the little dots, is what the actual literacy is.
Okay, so this poster. If I click on this full size version poster, click on image, blah blah blah. I'm going to be able to go through the principles and see where you need resources.
Should be.
Yeah,
be
and I can just double check that. Let's see.
Maybe I hadn't found that one yet. That's all. I mean, for maybe it's just the way my brain works. Maybe, you know, how I see things. But if I just had like a really clear list, like this is where there's a gap, and this like this principle. You know,
right.
But I can.
Well,
going more deeply into that poster, I think, will help. So,
let me just. I need to. I'm trying to find the poster right now.
I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Is it under four resource? Yeah, it's four under four resource developers.
Four resource developers.
/community/gap_analysis.
Oh, gap. Yep, I got it. I got it. All right, so if you...
Yeah, I see, because the little graphics that's like GP and essential principle, and it doesn't actually say what GP is.
Right, I thought the original ones we had the... all right, so if you go to the next one... All right, so are you on the website?
I am, yep.
All right, so if you go to the second one, you'll see essential principle 1, and the text is on the right.
Yeah. It's the first diagram, which is just an overview of all of them.
Right.
So at the essential principle level. Okay, so this is actually nice. So this poster that I'm looking at, let's say I'm at essential principle 1, and I can look at it, and I can see that, oh, this is actually beautiful. Okay, I hadn't seen this one yet.
So it has it for each principle.
There's nothing for EP1D. And I can look to my left there, and I can see that essential principle 1D is gradual changes in Earth's rotation, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Very cool.
What's EP1 uncharacterized?
Yeah, just something, a little of this, a little of that.
That's funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Tamara.
Maybe, Tamara, we need to socialize this a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize. I mean, I was familiar with the text being on. I didn't realize that it wasn't on the right-hand side of all of them.
No, it's...
It's just the first one.
Yeah. Which is the high-level essential principles, that's all.
Right.
Okay. So, any other announcements?
Well, since I'm talking, this is Kristen again. I'll be at... the National Education Association conference this week on their Green Isle. And it came to me yesterday that it would have been nice if I had gotten some more of those climate literacy principle pamphlets to have at our booth. But we did get some for our institute, so I might be able to grab those and then order some more. Do you think that'll be a big deal, Frank, for me?
Not at all.
Okay. So we have, I think, about 100 at this point. So
right.
maybe I'll bring those. And
yeah, you, I mean, the main thing is you know, if you if somebody wants some, all they have to do is email outreach@noaa.gov,
mm-hmm.
and they can request them be shipped to wherever they want to be shipped to.
Perfect. I'm doing a lot of planes and trains down there, so I might actually not want to bring a lot. So that would be better outreach@noaa.gov.
Well, when do you arrive?
I will be there Thursday and Friday.
Of this week?
Mm-hmm.
Right after this call, you might want to give...
Wonder if they could get shipped.
They could. You might be able to have them shipped down there.
If oh, you, that would be nice.
If you just email outreach@noaa.gov and give them your hotel and when you need to be there,
mm-hmm.
They may be able to ship them to you directly.
Sweet. It's in Chicago. Cool.
Okay, other announcements? Well, I can tell you that we have, I think I might have mentioned this last week, we have 7 coordinated sessions on climate literacy at the AGU meeting. I will send an email out with those descriptions to the Climate Literacy Network. And the abstract deadline for AGU is very early this year. It's August 4th. It's usually the end of August, early September, but this year it's early. So people should look for that coming, which will be relatively soon in the next day or so. And because the website for submission of abstracts is now open, so people can start submitting abstracts.
Okay.
So that's the AGU meeting. The Clean Pathway Project is having their review camp the beginning of August, so we're planning for that. We have about... I think 400 resources ready to be going through the review panels. And then they would be, those that make it through will be cataloged in the fall, so our collection will grow.
Did you say 400?
We have about, well, I know we have 380 that currently need second round reviews, which is supposed to happen in the next 2 weeks. And we have on the order of 90 that have made it through that have made it through the second round of reviews and need the review panel. So those combined, yes, about 400.
All right, Chihuahua. Are we going to have coffee, like a lot more coffee in this room this year?
I think they're going to have a lot more snacks and things to keep the blood flowing, Frank.
Good God.
But you only have this 24, I think, to worry about directly. So.
Thank you.
That's the goal of 24, and many of those are just graphics.
Actually, that is a wonderful thing to be reviewing. Because,
yeah.
Boy, do they need help. But thank you.
Okay, and let's see, what else? We have the, as everybody knows from our discussion last week, we have the NAAAE meeting. We have quite a few sessions that have been approved, plus an all-day workshop. For those of you who are participating in sessions, I sent out an email with the URL for Google Spreadsheets for everybody to put down what their sessions are and when they are, and so that we can create the flyer that kind of advertises them while we're there. And Frank will take you up on the offer that we had last year, which was to have them at the NOAA booth.
I haven't entered my sessions yet, but I will.
Yep.
Okay, and Kristen, I saw you entered yours, so thank you very much.
No problem.
And Lynn, we're putting together the all-day workshop, and I think we've identified the people who are participating in that, and we'll have a separate call to coordinate what the content is of that.
Mm-hmm. I just updated everybody's names, but I couldn't figure out how to put people's names in who aren't listed. You have to be actually listed in NAAEE as a member, and if you're not...
Oh, yeah, that's true. People have to, and it's so I guess that's to protect that you can't have somebody listed who's not registered. And so the key piece was to take people's names off who are not going.
And they're off.
We do want to add the people, so that's good. We do want to add the people that will be presenting, but in terms of making sure that we don't get bumped, we have to have everybody registered who's listed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right now, everyone is registered who's listed, but Louise didn't come up. Louise Huffman's name and Mary Alpert's name didn't come up, so I have to get...
I think there's a way to add that. I know, Karen, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Karen Holwig? Do you know, I mean, I thought there was a way to add people also.
There is. If I were having those kinds of problems, I'd give a quick call to the woman at the NAAE office who's taking care of those kinds of problems.
Okay.
And I'm trying to call up her phone number right now. I'll let you know in a minute.
Okay.
So whose music is that?
My mother's calling me.
Catch that phone.
Good Lord. That's a good tune.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Okay, are there any other...
Well, let me give you her email address. It's E-L-I-S-E.
Oh, yeah, I've got the leases. Okay.
NAAEE.org.
Yeah, okay.
Just tell her what your problem is and give her a phone number and email address. And.
Yeah, I have an email into her from about 2 days ago. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't heard back. I'll try calling.
Okay.
Do you know, Lynn, if Ryan is coming or not?
Yep, Brian's coming. Jen Glazer's coming. Yeah.
Good, good.
It looks good.
Great.
Great. Okay, and the other meeting that I know that the deadline is relatively soon is the GSA meeting. And that deadline is July 26th for abstracts. I'll be there too. And just a number of us who are going to the NAAE meeting are also have to go to the GSA meeting, and they overlap by one day. So we'll be going from, I think, Minnesota to Raleigh, North Carolina. Quickly.
Sounds like a real easy connection.
Well, the other thing is the Aztec meeting overlaps by one day on the other side.
Oh, really? Well, I'm glad I'm not going to all three.
That's in Baltimore.
Oh,
well, that's close for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so are there other announcements or other issues people would like to discuss?
Well, there's something that we've been struggling with on over here in NOAA, and I don't know if you guys want to contribute to this, but and I think this is going to come up more with the federal funding for a lot of the grants that are coming out on this topic is the line between literacy and advocacy, the line between now the word is propaganda. So we had a hearing last week, and some of the Republican representatives were taking issue with some of the stuff we do at NOAA in climate as propaganda, sensationalistic propaganda. And
really?
Yeah, that was, and I mean, that's just, you know, that's par for the course, and that's fine. But, you know, the role of informing the nation from science organizations, and a lot of us hail from them, outreach, engagement, education, communications, you know, what is the appropriate role, and when is something purely propagandistic, and when is it, you know, citizen literacy requirements and that kind of stuff. And I think that we've written white papers in the past. I don't know if the community would like to contribute to the writing of something like that, that kind of clearly lays out the terrain. I've talked about this a couple times about advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
But now this new word that's showing up is kind of still in the same vein of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we should. And I think we should talk about how Fox TV and these, there's real propaganda that's funded by the oil and gas industry and define it as propaganda.
Well, I think that some of the irony here is that people who are speaking in ways that come from propaganda are claiming that others are propaganda. And I'm like,
sure.
Well, wait a minute. But,
from the private side, they're allowed to do propaganda. It's from the government side that they don't want to cross that line.
Right.
The rules are different.
They are different, but when I think the way to handle this all the way around is what is propaganda, and when is something propaganda, if you want to use that word, and when is it, you know, education.
Mm-hmm.
And what characteristics describe, and you do it in an independent way, so that, I mean, sure, they have the right to do it, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, at what point are they crossing the line into slander?
Well, there's that too. But, I mean, you know, Karen, I think you know, NAAEE has done a lot of nice work in this area with some of the guidelines for educators and dealing with bias.
The history of environmental education is, that's the controversy from the beginning, the advocacy line. And
yep.
So.
Well, I think that, I think Frank and you know I think that every you know we're all speaking to the same thing, but we have to be careful that what I think Frank is asking is for address the question on the side of what the government can do and not do, as opposed to just defining what it means for the side that is free to print whatever they want.
Well, I think there's a little bit more to it than that. You've got organizations, you know, Carol Landis is from the Bird. Carol, you're not on the line, are you, today? I didn't hear her, but, I mean, Carol is from a university data center, in essence, a research institution. And, I mean, the kind of the rules of engagement for something like Bird or Ceres or are similar. And I think there's a continuum of appropriateness. I don't think Turk wants to get into the propaganda game. You guys, you have you know, reasons why you do what you do, and you're not government. And I mean, so I think that there are different roles and responsibilities. And Lynn, you're a private citizen.
Yeah, but you know, NSF I think dealt with that really well, where they just said it's civic engagement, and that you have to teach about. I mean, if you are the government, you have to teach about how government works. And so it's really incumbent upon the government to teach civic engagement. And civic engagement requires that you're educated on these issues and that you learn about science and you learn about peer review. And so I think it's about teasing apart whether what they're saying is scientifically accurate or not.
Right. So, I mean, that was part of the thing that they were getting at us was that we were hyping the science in ways that were like, no, that's solid stuff right there that you're saying is sensationalistic. So anyway, I mean, I think, Tamara, I'm not necessarily calling for just the government role in this. I'm just saying that a general guiding principles, you know, maybe some of the just, you know, when is this what it is and when is it not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly, I'm being very ambiguous here, but, you know, we've talked about this in a couple times. So anyway.
Okay.
So.
That's something to think about.
Frank, I'm wondering if some of the position, in addition to the NAAEE guidelines, I'm wondering if some of the position papers from NSTA might be useful for you.
Well,
are you familiar with those?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. If I remember correctly, and I think Lynn, you may have pointed this out that NSTA has not really taken a position paper on this area.
Yeah, they're funded by Exxon pretty heavily.
Well, I mean that's they're also funded by others. You know, we give them money too. So, but I mean, I think on this particular issue, I think NSTA should be challenged to, you know, maybe that's where you handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's a position paper between NAAEE and NSTA and Aztec and NAI and AZA, you know, a joint education position paper because we're all doing it. I don't know. I mean, I'm just blue skying it here.
Maybe it's something that AGU might be interested in partnering in too.
And AAAS and AMS and I mean it's a. I'm not trying to get too crazy here, but
yeah.
We're all struggling with the same problem.
Right.
And unless we
and it's
struggle,
it's only going to increase.
Of course.
Yeah.
As it gets closer to actually doing something about these issues, I mean this flag is going to be flown a lot.
Yeah.
I
certainly,
think
like there would be strength in numbers in terms of making it harder and harder to refute. But I do wish that there were some, you know, independently funded by some rich person response group that whenever someone claims that something is propaganda or simply goes around spewing completely false facts as evidence or anything like that, I it's a shame that
The Daily Show.
Yes, that's really about the only venue. So, and they're about as effective as they can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe that's all we've got. But I can.
Well, but there's another piece to it, which is you know we've got millions of educators. I estimate around 7 million formal and informal in the United States, probably maybe eight. And all of us are getting hammered with the same issue when we touch it.
I've always been agog at how effective the how easy it is to discount something and how hard it is to prove something, and every scientist knows that.
Right.
That's our work.
The basis of our work. But by the same vein, I don't know how every individual is going to have to make their stance on whether they're going to be an activist or not, I think, obviously. But I have been sort of astonished. I hope all the blogs help. Has anyone done any social science on whether or not that type of information being out there actually helps to discount rumors or not?
Yeah.
Line of information
like
and evidence.
Together. It's like we got this last exchange between Mark McCaffrey and Scott Mandia.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the volcano. One of these deniers had said that the volcano spewed, in Iceland, spewed out more CO2 than humans had produced. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then someone asked, I think it was Roberta asked, does anyone have any information to refute this? And Scott Mandia has a wonderful site, which he sent to us. And, so it's like Scott seems to be doing that. I guess the question is it getting out to people other than us? Is it actually getting out?
That's what I wonder. That's a social science thing, and I guess that community is invested and involved. But that seems to me a good place to put energy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I could do that, but...
Well, and, I find it very hopeful that we still... We're putting on our Institute for Climate Change Ed this summer, and we have 100 teachers from just our state that are asking for this.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are asking for it, because they're getting pushback.
Yeah.
It isn't because people are saying, oh, please go out and do this. They're getting pushback. And as our former governor is the biggest about-face denier that's out there right now, plenty. So so that, I think, is hopeful. I think from the grassroots teacher level, there's still a need.
Definitely. Coming from a science background, I feel like that's almost the only way I can insert.
Yeah, well, getting things out there, and I think there's many challenges in that because, first of all, deniers will tend not to read those things that have factual information. And secondly, just the reach to broad communities is just very difficult. You can reach lots and lots of people, and yet there's always more. So finding avenues in which we can get broad distribution is very... would be very helpful.
But there's another piece to that, though, Tamara, and I think, this is the core of, the name of our group, which is Climate Literacy, is one of the definitions is that you're able to discern credible from non-credible information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the broad strategy is, handled by, blogs and newspaper articles and other things, and maybe, the Daily Show. But one of the things that is a core to what we do here is that we have educators who have time to work with people on these are complicated problems that take time. We're well positioned, if resourced and skilled, to handle this over a long period of time. That's a piece of the equation the larger work that we're doing here. But this is hard stuff, and it requires in-depth, face-to-face engagement in order to really build trust and build skill and to build knowledge. That's what we do. So, the broad, I think, is broad to whom? And I think our target are the educators, engagement personnel, and outreach professionals, and, the millions and millions of them. And I don't think we're there yet, but it's not 300 million. It's smaller than that, I think. That's just my perspective.
Yeah, and I
What is smaller than that?
The educators and engagement personnel who are doing the hard lifting that You know, the work that we do informs and helps are the ones who are our primary audience, not the public themselves, because that's that's done through another person.
And I agree with you, Frank, and I think your 7 million educators number is in the ballpark. There are 4 million in elementary and secondary schools and another 3 million in informal institutions of various kinds. And I agree with you. If we don't set a tone and provide the rationale and the backbone, we're not going to be able to get our programs and materials and what we hope will happen happening in either formal or informal venues, because it'll be just like evolution is at times. It'll be something that everybody stays away from. So then all of our efforts will be undercut. So I think what you're describing as a need is very much a need that affects all of us and our work.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is that we've been reading a lot about is how people, who delivers the message is so important to them. And, of course, kids are going to believe their teachers. But as far as adults, it's seems like the people on the right will believe information if it comes from their church or from the military, from, you know,
We actually, one of the AGU sessions directly addresses climate literacy in belief groups. So that should be a very interesting session. The other thing that I wanted to mention, which this group might be able to help with, is the National Research Council's Climate Change Education Roundtable. We're planning a workshop focused on the formal context for K through 14, and that is going to that workshop, which is going to be open to anybody who wants to come. I believe I'm on the steering committee for, so I'm sort of been involved in developing the agenda and identifying speakers. That's going to be August 31st and September 1st in DC, and I think it's going to be available remotely also. But in terms of how to get the message out and what kind of professional development is needed and what is currently being done. And one of the things that I've been pushing on them is, while the focus of the workshop is formal education, connections to informal context or leveraging informal context, I think, is really important to explore here. And so we're trying to identify potential speakers and panelists. And Frank, I can tell you, you're already on the list there. But if people have suggestions, you can let me know, because we're in the process of planning this now.
Okay. One of the things I'm working on is with the National Geographic, we're writing a proposal on a curriculum for Whiteboard, which is an international curriculum, and taking climate change. And it's a really wonderful program with this interactive whiteboard where kids from one country can actually projects with kids from anywhere around the world, and it's in real time. So that might be interesting too.
Yeah. Who is involved with that? Or is that a funded project, or is that something that...
We're writing a proposal right now. If you have any ideas for funding venues.
Well, funding, I mean, I think we all know funding is going to get harder and harder as time goes.
Yes, it is.
Goes by, especially on this topic.
Yep.
You know, the federal budgets are tightening, and I think, I think we need to figure out some new strategies on how to keep and sustain this level of work. And there's another piece. There's some early research that I can't really get into the specifics of it yet, but one of the key things that we need to think about is the relationship between kids and their adults and our programs, because it turns out that one of the most powerful ways to educate adults is through their kids.
Yeah.
So the program like ACE and others that have been focusing on students directly, when those students talk to their adults about this issue, it's probably more powerful than just about anything we do with adults directly. So while our programs are directly formal and informal educated principally on students and young learners, there is an indirect that does exist, and there's some early research to show that that actually does have some potential for having a secondary focus, which is the adults. and it's powerful stuff. So without throwing their emotional lives under the bus as a result would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like recycling and seatbelts and smoking.
Yeah, it's a similar thing, but, people have tried a bunch of different campaigns that they think are working on climate on adults, and it just doesn't work. There's no evidence to show that stuff works yet.
Right.
But this stuff is showing some indications that it does. And if you haven't seen the teen knowledge surveys that came out of Yale, some of the indications are in there that there's a relationship between kids and learning in a house and the adults and where they're going, what they're learning.
That's good. Look at that.
Okay, is there anything else?
Lots to think about.
Yes, there certainly is. Things only slow down to a certain degree during the summer.
Slow down?
Slow down, I was going to say that's our season right now.
That doesn't happen anymore.
We're ramping up.
Well, yeah, some things have reverse relationships to the academic year.
Yes. We're hoping for a no state shutdown here next week.
Oh my gosh, good luck.
Our funding is all for all of our teacher workshops this summer. It comes straight from the state. So that's what we're hoping for.
Wow.
You're in Minnesota.
Well, good luck.
Right?
In Minnesota, I know we've got a big standstill. Democrat,
yeah.
Governor and Republican surrounding, so
This is Britt. I do have one announcement, just that my email address is going to change. Instead of Bargo@Wellesley, I'm going to switch to the Bargo@gmail.com account.
Can you send the email to Sarah Hill to change that in our listserv?
Yes. I don't know if I have her email address in my
contact. It's Sarah with an H underscore Hill at turk.edu.
Right. I will do that.
When do you officially leave Wellesley?
I think it's the end of this week.
Okay, well.
I do a lot of random work for free here and there, and I'm finishing a project with several students this summer, so I'm going to switch my email address, but I will actually be in and out. But I'm trying to transition out and be done with Wellesley. I'm trying really hard. It's easy.
And do you know what next?
Students. So, but yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck in how things move forward for you.
Thank you. I'm actually really excited about freedom and doing something different. So.
Freedom.
Yes, this has actually caused for a huge hooray, and I'm hopefully going to be at a state school in a couple years, but this is wonderful, actually, so yay!
Good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Very good.
And just so everybody knows that Britt has been involved as a consultant on the Clean Pathway Project, so we've been engaging her and drawing her into the climate change education community.
Yes.
Which is fun.
Right.
I like it a lot.
That's good.
Yeah.
Plenty to do.
Yeah, exactly. All hands on deck.
Okay. So if there is nothing else, we will talk again next week.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Right. Have a good week, everybody. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Enjoy the 4th.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Bye.